A company has partnered with NVIDIA to put a mini data center in your front yard. Solar panel and electrical startup company Span is offering what they call discounted utility rates for homeowners who are willing to host Span's RTX Pro 6000 servers, running on the homeowner's residential power and internet in their front yards. And they even say that it might host a cloud gaming node in your own yard. You won't have any control over it, but you can subscribe to cloud computing from just feet away and get basically nothing for it. This comes at a time when electricity costs are outpacing inflation alone, with an average 30% increase. These mini compute boxes are designed to be a distributed data center, and basically they're designed to pull any overprovisioned power from the home to then use for the compute box to process whatever tasks are dispatched to it from a cloud solution. So if you have a 200 amp capacity for your home and you use half of it, the other 100 amps minus whatever safety net they might have would go to the distributed compute box. And this comes at a time when energy prices are skyrocketing, and this will contribute to that. But Span says that it'll help pay for the energy costs that it's going to use and that AI is forcing ever upward. They plan to install these in residential neighborhoods that are partnered with real estate companies that specialize in rental houses, like those built by the Pulte Group, and we think might even partner with HOAs to distribute the boxes that contain 16 RTX Pro 6000s, which cost close to $10,000 each, and 3 terabytes of DDR5 memory. Having just been the victims of a smash and grab to our rental car while in San Francisco, we can't help but wait and see what happens when the first tweakers break into these boxes. There's copper in them, their boxes. But the same AI data center is responsible for the rise in cost for RAM, SSDs, GPUs, and everything else, have now moved on to their next target, which is energy. The energy market is far more nuanced due to any one specific state's market regulation status, weather, climate, and capacity variables. But like those markets, recent price increases are largely driven by significant AI demand and not enough supply. But data centers claim that they still don't have enough energy.
We're limited by energy, but you know, we got a lot of people working on that, and we had to not make energy a bottleneck for our country.
So the plan for this solution is apparently to distribute that load across wide residential areas. Now, in partnership with NVIDIA, Span is bringing its mini data center to your house. You don't get access specifically to its hardware, you just physically allow it to sit there. Using prices from Newegg and Nemix, we estimate the cost of only the 16 Pro 6000s and the 3 terabytes of DDR5 server RAM at each compute node to be around $246,000. That's a lot of copper. It'd be a shame if something happened to it because it's like a metal box, an angle grinder, $250,000 of stuff, or a form of protest, but they have a plan for that. And it's surveillance. Span is probably aware of this problem, and so go figure that the company partnered with the global surveillance enabler Palantir would also be putting surveillance systems in their compute boxes that go in the front yard of your own house. We have a lot of questions about this endeavor today, like why and huh? Do I need to take out a separate insurance policy to cover the 16 12 volt high power connectors in a box sitting surrounded by pine needles next to my American home made out of paper and wood? Ultimately, we think the extent Span's going to in attempts to procure energy from any available sources, now including residential, highlights a much larger supply issue forming in the energy industry. And putting $250,000 of hardware, especially 3 terabytes of RAM, into a yard is a level of liability that's going to require an uncomfortable level of surveillance, we think, for Span to do it without needing to worry too much. But it also just continues to bleed the consumer dry financially and for silicon and the availability of it. As we get into this, we also have a call to our audience, which is if you have one of these, or if you maybe rent a house and your greedy landlord decides to get one of these because it will reduce the power bill that you're probably ultimately paying for anyway, then let us know. Because they say they're working on installing 100 of these in Q3 as a test deployment. We want to film it and inspect it. I can make it anonymous. We can blur all kinds of stuff. We can just stay tight only on the box. Whatever we need to do to make sure that we could do it without getting you in trouble. But we'd really like to see one of these. And I'll even come with a gift of RAM for the inconvenience. But you can email tips, T-I-P-S, at gamersaccess.net with information if you happen to see one. That also works as they're testing them now on what we assume to be test homes. But there's a lot to talk about today with this distributed data center in residential neighborhoods concept. So let's get into it. We brought you this video with our gold Halo VRAM drinkware and copper-plated mule mugs on store.gamersnexus.net because, let's face it, times are tough in the PC DIY space, and at least you can get VRAM on a glass. We recently restocked our copper-plated stainless steel mule mugs with a hammered surface. Hammered, much like Jensen Huang must have been when he said there was no smuggling. They even have thermal conductivity lasered into them in text. We also recently restocked our gold Halo VRAM glasses on the store. These were in super high demand after our black market GPU campaign previously, and due to how much work the gold rim takes to get to our standards, it took until now to finally get them fully restocked. The glasses have a thick gold Halo rim and a pattern of VRAM and GPU on the glass itself, designed by Andrew in Blender, actually in 3D. These even have AI, by which I mean, hey, I'm gonna need a drink because of the RAM prices. Head over to store.gamersnexus.net to support this content directly. Back to it. Last month, SPAN announced the rollout of XFRA, which it calls its distributed data center solution. SPAN's press release describes how data center power consumption load is predicted to increase from over 4% of the US's total power consumption in 2024 to more than 9% by 2030. And it markets XFRA as an intermittent stopgap as the power grid infrastructure takes time scaling to the demand. So the way that it solves the fact that data centers that are on track to be built will consume more power than the US is capable of generating and providing is by it's by using more power. It's going to use more power because we're using too much power already. Essentially, SPAN intends to deploy its network of RTX Pro 6000 compute nodes across various homeowners' yards to take advantage of what it considers underutilized residential power to serve its end customers with, quote, both the immediate and future compute needs of hyperscalers, neoscalers, and AI cloud providers, end quote. And just to jump, just calling it underutilized is like a level of entitlement to that power that it expresses a certain ego about it. Like it's not that you just don't need it. It's that power that could be used for something. And it needs to be making money for AI. Quote, XFRA leverages the SPAN Smart Electrical Panel's core built-in intelligence, integrated energy management, power controls functionality that unlock additional electrical service capacity, headroom, in the existing grid. This capacity powers high-performance compute nodes for AI inference, cloud gaming, and other AI workloads, end quote. And just to underscore that, they did say cloud gaming services, but you don't get like a cut of it. So now the homeowners can host cloud gaming services on their property using their own electricity and their own power and still have to pay a subscription for the cloud gaming service. And so it's basically the rare self-hosted version of you'll own nothing and be happy, I guess. Awesome. SPAN notes that participating homeowners will, quote, receive a premium SPAN panel, battery backup, and optional solar plus fixed discounted rates for electricity and internet, end quote. As far as the battery backup, that isn't quite as free for your home as it sounds, because they intend to use it first for their distributed data center. While SPAN doesn't disclose the discount amount, it calls its solution a win-win-win, though it doesn't specify for whom. Regarding XFRA's rollout, the release states, quote, SPAN is working with leading home builders like PulteGroup to accelerate the initial rollout of XFRA on site, end quote. We looked into this partner. PulteGroup is the third largest home builder in America, reportedly closing on over 30,000 homes in 2024. And it's been in the news lately.
All right, I got some breaking news out of Washington. Eamon Javers has that for us at the White House. Hi, Eamon.
Scott, that's right. The General Accountability Office here in Washington says that it is going to conduct an investigation of Bill Pulte over at the FHFA over the question of whether he appropriately accessed private data as he was doing his own investigations at FHFA in order to lob these allegations of mortgage fraud against a number of prominent officials here in Washington, including Lisa Cook over at the Fed.
Federal Housing Finance Agency Director Bill Pulte, the grandson of Pulte Group's founder, served on Pulte Group's board of directors from 2016 to 2020 during Trump's first full term. The company says that Pulte is no longer affiliated with Pulte Group. The Pulte Group and Bill Pulte have had a number of controversies, including between themselves, where they seem to be constantly attacking one another, at least recently. Bill Pulte was called upon by senators to answer to a Mother Jones story reporting that Pulte's, quote, nonprofit sent money to Donald Trump while disguising it as a charity to the poor, end quote, including a $65,000 donation for the underserved. Mother Jones writes, quote, our February reporting found that One World Love does not appear to be a nonprofit and is instead a corporate entity with ties to the law firm that represented Donald Trump in his efforts to prove election fraud and to avoid paying damages after the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol, end quote. Bill Pulte's own family's foundation effectively disowned him, stating in no uncertain terms that he has nothing to do with the foundation. Bill Pulte has claimed to have pitched Trump with the 50-year mortgage plan that Trump tweeted about last year and that was widely criticized for being a path to make the crisis worse. In 2010, the Arizona Attorney General claimed that Pulte Home Corp, quote, defrauds consumers by informing them they have, quote, pre-qualified for financing at a certain interest rate and provided Spanish-speaking customers with different disclosures than English speakers, end quote. The list goes on. The company was previously sued on allegations of an executive staff member bringing a noose to meetings, with the lawsuit claiming that the executive told black employees to, quote, not hang themselves, end quote. The company denied the allegations, and the lawsuit was eventually withdrawn. Its homes have also been called into question, including in Las Vegas, where million-dollar homes were claimed to have been cracking and sinking. Some of the stuff is contested between the parties, but the point is, they seem to just constantly find themselves in controversy, and that does seem to be consistent with entities that get this large and are this close to government. As far as we can tell, though, Bill Pulte operates independently, it seems, of Pulte Group at this point. The two seem to have basically parted ways. They're fairly adversarial to each other from what I've read recently. Both, however, have had plenty of controversies. Bill Pulte is on the Federal Housing Finance Agency group, and also worthy of note is that several lawsuits against the Pulte conglomerate include those about the mortgage processes, and Bill Pulte was also part of the 50-year mortgage plans that would worsen the housing crisis. All of this is relevant because the company that wants to build compute nodes in your yard or in your landlord's yard of the home that you rent is partnering with that home builder. Span details the rollout process further in its white paper, stating, quote, XFRA is already operating in-house prototypes that are serving paying customers, validating early technical feasibility and initial product market fit, end quote. When mentioning its paying customers here, Span is likely referring to hyperscalers, NeoCloud, and AI service providers. The company also wrote, quote, we are now expanding testing to a small number of homes, and will roll out a 100-node residential proof-of-concept deployment in early Q3 in partnership with a leading build-to-rent company. Following the proof-of-concept, we plan to prioritize new build and build-to-rent deployments as the path to broader U.S. rollout beginning in early 2027, end quote. We're not surprised that Span is targeting build-to-rent deployments, one, because their own business model seems to be congruent with rentals, but two, we'd imagine it's a lot easier to convince a landlord who will reap the benefits of discounts, free, I guess, in scare quotes, battery backups, panel upgrades, things like that. It's extra money in the pocket of the landlords while simultaneously avoiding any of the negative consequences we can think of for those who would be living next to it, for those who can't already afford a home, like the noise, for example. There's also something particularly cruel about renting someone a home they can't afford to own and then getting them to subscribe to a computer they can't afford to buy, but then putting that computer literally 5 feet outside of the building that they are living in through rent. Like that, it just feels cruel at some point. Unfortunately, by partnering with rental home builders, this effectively strips the decision to host these distributed mini compute boxes away from the residents who will actually deal with the impacts. Span lists the external compute unit's chassis dimensions at 15 by 60 by 50 inches, so there's plenty of room for it to become your kid's new favorite neighborhood hangout spot in our increasingly dystopian, not so distant future. Or the best dog bathroom spot on the block. Be a shame if people let the dogs pee there all the time. But you might be asking,
what's in the box?
Not until you give me the
what's button. In the fucking box?
Each compute node consists of 16 NVIDIA RTX Pro 6000 Blackwell Server Edition GPUs, which are anywhere from $8,500 to $11,000 these days. It has four AMD EPYC CPUs, 3 terabytes of DDR5 memory, 2 liquid-cooled Dell PowerEdge XE7745 servers, a 24-port gigabit switch, and 1 15-kilowatt-hour battery. The node will utilize a 35,000 BTU heat pump that supposedly operates at 60 dB to cool the compute module. They call this quiet, but we have no idea how they're taking that measurement or at what distance, which affects what the number would be. 60 dB is definitely not quiet though at any reasonable distance. In terms of how it actually works, XFRA's website uses this infographic to explain its core concept, illustrating how the typical home's electrical service size is 200 amps while its typical max concurrent power usage is 80 amps or 40%. They show that this leaves capacity on the table for SPAN's AI nodes. The XFRA white paper claims, quote, "The SPAN smart panel is the unlock providing real-time circuit-level visibility and control that allow XFRA to safely and dynamically access that headroom without compromising household needs," end quote. 3 weeks before SPAN's XFRA announcement, Jensen described a similar concept on the Lex Fridman podcast.
"Our power grid is designed for the worst-case condition with some margin. Well, 99% of the time, we're nowhere near the worst-case condition because the worst-case condition is a few days in the winter, a few days in the summer, and extreme weather. And so 99% of the time, our power grid has excess power and they're just sitting idle. But they have to be there sitting idle because just in case, when the time comes, hospitals have to be powered and, you know, infrastructure has to be powered and airports have to run and so on and so forth."
Really not a fan of where this quote seems to be going, but we'll let him finish.
And so the question that I have is whether we could go and help them understand and create contractual agreements and design computer architecture systems, data centers, such that when they need the maximum power for infrastructure in society, that the data centers would get less. Mm-hmm. But that's in a very rare instance anyways. And during that time, we either have our backup generators for that little part of it, or we just have our computers shift the workload somewhere else, or we have the computers just run slower.
Interestingly, there was one option he didn't really seem to mention or get into, which is just turning them off. Not an option. The questions are obvious, mostly about who gets priority during an emergency or a power outage of some kind. And companies have a lot of money, and it's unlikely that they easily let go of control over a resource without being forced. According to XFRA's website, the nodes are connected through SPAN's XFRA Secure Orchestration Layer, or XSOL. The SOL part is about your situation, which, quote, "makes many independent nodes behave like a coherent cloud, performing AI inference workloads close to end users, reducing latency," end quote. SPAN also details the node's physical security, as well as how it reacts to a power outage in its white paper, stating, quote, "physical security is addressed through secure enclosures, monitoring, and tamper-evident protections. If a device is removed or compromised, XFRA can revoke credentials and disable access to workloads and sensitive data. Together, these measures are designed to protect customers, partners, and homeowners while enabling a distributed fleet to operate safely at scale," end quote. Secure enclosures don't stop break-ins. Monitoring doesn't help unless you can get something trackable and ideally see externally from the box. Tamper seals don't stop tampering. It is a good point, though, that using one of the seemingly endless wave of physical access required major critical vulnerabilities that we hear about every day at this point on a box in just outside in a neighborhood connected to a distributed data center could be a major vulnerability for the whole network, depending on how they're connected. Quote, "XFRA nodes are provisioned to operate as always-on loads within verified residential capacity. In normal operation, node power is maintained continuously. If rare residential peaks occur, XFRA preserves node operation by first drawing on the whole home battery, and in extreme cases, by temporarily reducing non-critical flexible loads like EV charging via power-up. Node interruption will only occur during defined power events, such as a grid outage, a utility demand response event, or a safety-triggered shutdown, in which case XSOL orchestrates controlled failover to other nodes in the fleet. XFRA is designed to offer maximum backup for the home during the event by failing over workloads and powering down the node as quickly as possible, and making the remainder of the battery capacity available for the homeowner," end quote. Now, there's a lot of words to say something insane, if you really pay attention to this, which is that during a peak, SPAN and XFRA prioritize their own shit in a lot of situations. And one of them was actually moving the EV charging down on the priorities list. So there was earlier in this quote, they say, temporarily reducing non-critical flexible loads like EV charging if there's some kind of residential peak. That can happen. That's not like an emergency event. That's just like everyone hit the grid at the same time or whatever. And that it means they're reducing the priority of the things you actually need to do to live your life, to keep their data center box running. In the event of a power outage, they say that they'll use the home battery, which is the one they provide, and try to act like that's the carrot on the stick to get you to put this thing in your yard. But they're using it for their own shit. It's not like you get priority over that battery. They do, from what this says. And that means that given the amount of power drawn to operate 16 RTX Pro 6000s and all these Thread or Epic CPUs for even a minute, this process is likely depleting a lot of that battery, even if it just needs to shut it down. So the other thing, too, is theft is obviously a concern for both value reasons and activist reasons. Although I guess there's some dispute over maybe whether you're still an activist if you become a criminal. But the point stands. People, these boxes are valuable. While Span doesn't mention any cameras in its press release on its XFRA website or in its statement addressing security and trust, we figured they probably would have one somewhere because this is a big concern. A single render that we found depicts the XFRA node with a security camera inside the compute box. Even though that's inside of the compute box, we think it's just a matter of time before they bring that external. Contracts would probably allow them to do whatever they want to their box, maybe including external surveillance. Even ignoring Span's own liabilities, this is also just a liability for whomever lives next to the box because it may invite thieves. And not to mention the obvious liability for things like fire hazards when you're putting this outside is not a cold environment to operate in a lot of places. And if you live anywhere near us, for example, then during the summer, your baseline ambient might be like 38 degrees Celsius. Plus, you're running a bunch of 12-volt high-power cables. Like, there's a lot of liability here. Quote, Exol enforces encrypted communications, strong identity and access controls, and workload isolation suitable for multi-tenant environments, end quote. That only implies that the end customer's network traffic is secured from the homeowner and doesn't describe how the homeowner's traffic is secured from Span. Span also doesn't get specific on how much bandwidth it uses or how it plans to compensate for its own internet usage from the homeowner or the renter. Most residential neighborhoods also are on some form of shared fiber. And as a neighborhood's load increases, the speed for everybody can go down, depending on the build out there. So having multiple of these in one neighborhood would probably reduce the total speeds for the whole neighborhood if you're all on a shared connection, which is normally how it's done. Ultimately, we think Span's approach highlights a much greater issue at play, the early signs of an electricity shortage that we believe will have an increase in effect on electricity bills across the nation. There are several factors that affect electricity prices differently in each region, and it's not as simple as more data centers equals higher prices. That being said, data centers are undoubtedly driving up demand, which does impact prices, specifically in the capacity market. PJM Interconnection, the largest grid operator in the U.S., holds capacity market auctions annually to secure capacity from energy providers 3 years in advance to meet expected peak demand in its region. We put this chart together using public data. From delivery year 2024-2025 to delivery year 25-26, PJM's capacity price represented in price per megawatt year increased by an absurd $87,000 or by over 800%. This price will be reflected in consumer energy pricing, and we can thank data centers for spiking demand in multiples, just like they did with RAM and storage. As seen here, increasing data center demand combined with a decrease in energy supply significantly impacts the quantity of energy regional transmission organizations need to secure and at what price. Energy CX explains how this cost then gets passed on to consumers, stating, quote, capacity costs are fees you pay to ensure the electric grid has enough power plants available to meet demand, especially on the hottest or coldest days of the year, end quote. They also write, quote, capacity charges can make up 20 to 30% of a commercial bill in certain markets and sometimes even more. Unlike your energy rate, they're driven by how the grid plans for your future demand, not just what you use today, end quote. Meanwhile, energy costs are already rising, despite Energy Secretary Chris Wright categorically denying that the increasing costs are contributed to by data centers in February.
Are Americans right now paying higher utility costs, in your opinion, for data centers?
In the short answer, no. Americans are not paying higher prices because of data centers. I understand people seeing this big industrial development, they're concerned about it, but it is a pathway to lower prices, not higher.
One recent study backs up the secretary's comments, but others suggest the demand can overload the grid. Consumer advocates say it's already visible in certain areas.
Customers are paying about $32 a month on average more than they were a year ago for the same service. And those costs are largely driven by data centers.
Even Trump has said that data centers have a power problem, suggesting a new bring-your-own-power-plant prospect wherein private companies start to bring their own energy production online.
The data centers, and you people are so big, you're the biggest in the world, but they've developed a little bit of a bad public. They need some PR help. The tech companies and the data centers will be able to get the electricity they need, all without driving up electricity costs for consumers.
This is scary for other reasons, like regulations, oversight, and the fact that some data centers are already accused of dumping gas fumes on communities and causing disease. In January, Time magazine, citing the National Energy Assistance Directors Association, noted that electricity prices are now outpacing inflation, stating, quote, the average monthly residential electricity bill increased from about $121 in 2021 to $156 in 2025, a nearly 30% rise. And from last January to October alone, electricity bills rose 12.7%, end quote. This month, an independent market monitor for PJM published a State of the Market report for PJM, highlighting, quote, the total cost per megawatt hour of wholesale power increased by $58.75 from $77.78 in the first 3 months of 2025 to $136.53 in the first 3 months of 2026, an increase of 75.5%. Data center load growth is the primary reason for recent and expected capacity market conditions, including total forecast load growth, the tight supply and demand balance, and high prices. Large data center load additions have already had a significant and irreversible impact on PJM customers that will be paid through May 31st, 2028, and will have additional significant impacts on other customers as a result of higher transmission costs, higher energy market prices, and higher capacity market prices, end quote. Getting back to the issue at hand, we have a number of concerns about XFRA and SPAN's rollout here. In terms of general safety, total high power on that many GPUs in a box outside, not a big fan of it. There's like maybe some fire hazard concerns, especially because it might be surrounded by pine needles or next to a house made out of paper and wood, basically. And we have a whole hour-long deep dive titled 12-volt high power is a dumpster fire on the Gamers Nexus channel for anyone who's looking for more information on the issues associated with that connector standards. Additionally, having $250,000 of hardware or more in a box sitting outside is just a theft risk. It possibly makes the property a target of thieves. And when theft becomes an issue, we worry that SPAN might use it as an opportunity to implement stricter physical security measures, like installing external security cameras and surveillance, for example, which we believe could very rapidly turn into just home surveillance and neighborhood surveillance. Likewise, we'd worry about the liability and whether SPAN tries to push that onto the homeowner or the occupant if their 3 terabytes of RAM is inevitably stolen from one of these boxes. And we're also doubtful about the compute node's general viability, as well as weather conditions that it could realistically endure. The node has openings for airflow, so keeping moisture out could be problematic. Corrosion could be an issue. Water ingress would be a problem. Not to mention extremely hot conditions would render it inoperable, where you now have an ambient, where we live sometimes, of 38 degrees Celsius in the summer. We tested these GPUs at 21C in an office, and the memory was already at 95 degrees Celsius in some situations. So in other words, if you're at 38C under those test conditions, but outside, it exceeds thermal junction max for the memory. That's going to be a problem. Hot-cold cycles are also abusive on hardware, and this just kind of speeds those up by dropping another 10 or whatever degrees Celsius on top of it, unless they only operate in cold environments, which has new concerns. We're also skeptical about SPAN's intent to share the broadband with the homeowner and how it plans to monitor network traffic or engage with it and keep the homeowners private. There's also cybersecurity risks associated with increasing remote access to grid distribution systems. For example, the government's accountability office report titled Securing the U.S. Electricity Grid from Cyber Attacks stated, quote, there are several points of vulnerability in the U.S.'s system of electricity grids. For example, grid distribution systems, which carry electricity from transmission systems to consumers, have grown more vulnerable, in part because their operational technology increasingly allows remote access and connections to business networks. This could allow threat actors to access those systems and potentially disrupt operations, end quote.
But now, with SPAN's technology, you can monitor every single outlet in your house, down to the circuit, from your mobile device.
Finally, our greatest concern here is not a technical one, but a human one, which is that SPAN could feasibly use these promises of discounted utility rates to target lower-income households. Last month, the National Energy Assistance Directors Association published a study claiming that, quote, 1 in 6 households in the United States is behind on its energy bills, end quote. Broadly speaking, for our audience, I think a lot of people would choose to just not host a compute node at all versus saving, say, $20 or maybe $50 on their electricity bill or something. But on the other hand, if the choice turns into you can either not have electricity or you can host this compute node in your yard, then you can see how it becomes an easy decision to make and it becomes kind of predatory in its nature. And ultimately, we're fairly doubtful about Span's ability to roll out XFRA in any meaningful way that just doesn't cause massive problems somewhere. This reminds us a lot of when the crypto companies started to promote space heaters as things that would make you money by mining. Technically, this is a thing you can do, but it also is kind of an indicator of like just the extent to which the greed in the system was willing to go to push at the time crypto mining. Realistically, one of the greatest challenges is going to be securing enough GPUs to make the business model even feasible to begin with. And additionally, regardless of whether this project ever goes anywhere, we also think Span's willingness to source power from any sources necessary is indicative of growing energy shortage issues in America that'll have an increasing impact on consumer prices in the years to come, especially in the US. So that's it for this one. This whole idea is insane. Like, we're at peak dystopia now. The only thing that can make it more insane is if they put a camera on the outside of the box, which I suspect would at some point happen, just because I don't see, as a guy who just got robbed, you know, like it's real hard for me to not have that in my mind right now. I normally don't really worry about it, but it just happened. So that was over a lot less valuable stuff. I don't know what the plan would be. Like, you would need some serious surveillance. I'm sure the chassis is nothing an angle grinder couldn't handle. So they're going to need surveillance to actually try and track down or scare off theft. And anyway, that's it for this one. Subscribe for more. We need your help to keep this channel going the way we are. We've been increasing the video throughput. We've been putting a lot of effort into the research for these, and hopefully you're noticing and liking it. So head over to store.gamersaccess.net to help us out with running this, like by grabbing one of our project and soldering mats, which are excellent for anything from soldering to model building, miniatures painting, and art projects. We have them in multiple colors, including a new light gray. You can also grab one of our copper-plated stainless steel mule mugs or our tabletop gaming dice. We have one set of sharp edge resin dice of a high quality with e-waste inductors embedded within them, and another set with Snowflake the Cat embedded in those, and each comes with a playing card and some other materials for your tabletop gaming. Thanks for your support. You can also go to patreon.com/gamersnexus and subscribe for more. We'll see you all next time.